In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, good morning. We find ourselves still in the Gospel according to Mark. Jesus has left Capernaum, and he's found his way along the road towards Judea on the other side of the Jordan, as it states. He left a region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And the crowds have gathered again, which is fairly typical when Jesus is now moving about in this gospel message. As he goes, we find him teaching. So the crowds have gathered, he begins to teach again. And then in the midst of that teaching, there's Pharisees that are there, and they come with a question. Now, as I went looking at this gospel and thinking there's got to be something else to preach on, went to the scholars. One of them states this, a man named Craig Evans. He says, a biblical scholar says, Jesus finds himself confronted with a potentially dangerous question, which now leaves me standing here with a potentially dangerous sermon. It's a dangerous question, amen? I mean, this is not something we necessarily want to hear, but maybe that's why we should hear it. There's something happening. And as Jesus continues, the Pharisees approach. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answers them, what did Moses command you? They said Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and divorce her. Listen closely to what Jesus is saying. Moses allowed this. Moses allowed it. Word of God hasn't changed. What did Moses command you? They said Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. And then he says something that's very hard for many of us to hear. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. It's hard to hear if you're on the other side of the divorce. And so we turn to God to say, what is happening? Jesus says, the word of God states this. And you think, okay, that's probably as tough as it's going to get. But it really isn't, is it? Because now he's no longer with the crowd. He goes from being with the crowd to being back at the house with his closest followers. And you're looking for a little comfort and a little peace. And he really just sort of doubles down, doesn't he? Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. The comfort is not coming yet, is it? You have to look at what's going on in the midst of this. The Pharisees came asking a question that had to do with what had become a societal norm. Moses had made, because of the hardness of heart of God's people, an exception for them to be able to continue forward. Very Benedictine of him, by the way. But the word of God still hasn't changed, and Jesus is not going to change that as God incarnate. He's saying, yes, within the ways in which you have moved, an exception has been made for you because of your hard heart, but the word of God remains. That's a little more difficult to hear. I know you came here to be encouraged. How's it going so far? But let's hear it and just say, this societal norm is not God's desire for us, whether it be divorce or any other thing that goes against God's word. We can see it. This is an example of something that was happening within society, strangely still happens, and there was a struggle going on. They wanted to know more about it because, of course, the Pharisees knew what God's word was, and they also knew that exception that was made by Moses on their behalf, and they were trying to get clarity, where's Jesus going to land? And of course, he lands on the word of God because there is no other choice. That which comes from the mouth of God is the word of God. And off they go. We should still live in a society where the norm can become the rule. Doesn't mean it's in alignment with God's will. And then as we're moving ahead in this particular passage set apart for us, things are going along. Jesus drops this bombshell, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, he snuck something in there, by the way, because Moses said that he could do that. And Jesus is making known that she can do it too, so something has already shifted off of that which Moses had stated. So society is modifying as it goes that which is okay. Doesn't sound familiar, does it? And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. And then people were bringing little children to him. What happened? And now when we read that, we think, well, that's just what happened next, and we've moved on to a whole new thing, right? It reminded me when I read this, and I thought, do these things go together at all? And I would say, yeah, they do go together. The train forces me to speak slower. But not immediately visible to us, and not immediately to me, maybe better for you, but it reminded me of this time I was at a party, and I was having a conversation with a man who we were a little bit not in agreement with the way in which to deal with people who were in need. He was the get a job, and I'm like, let's help them learn a new life. And he just insisted that if they got a job, their life would be solved. And I said, no, the problem is they don't understand. They need someone to help them understand what you know. He goes, well, I don't know how they do that. I said, maybe you could teach them. And he looks at me and goes, have you tried the pate? So I felt a little bit like that when I read this portion of scripture today. Everything was going along, and all of a sudden, poof, the people were bringing little children to him. And I thought, does this even fit? And then we have to remember, going back just a little ways, this has happened before. The children have come among Jesus before, and he's had this conversation about the child in the midst of him with his disciples already. So people were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. Doesn't sound like what they were just taught. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." And we hear that in that just beautiful, little calm voice. And we forget, Jesus was indignant. Indignant. This probably wasn't a nice, calm, pleasant Jesus. I know we want to see him that way. I don't, but a lot of people want to see him that way. I see him looking at his followers who he had just taught that the kingdom of God belongs to those who are nothing, who are broken, damaged, and of no value. And here in the midst of this, having had conversation about the law and the modifications to his law, he now has children coming among him. His disciples, again, are speaking sternly to the parents likely and to the children also. And Jesus is not happy about it, and he's indignant. And he says to them, I suspect more like this, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Again, I tell you, This is what he just told them, and they didn't get it. Now, if we look at that in light of this passage on divorce and adultery, what if we brought the two together? What if we, for a moment, thought about our sinfulness and actually felt the pain of it? For a moment. Our prayer book likes to call it wretchedness. When I was in seminary, we had these daily devotion that I signed up for that came by email. And it was written by others, other seminarians and other people across the country. And I remember one of the devotions was more angry about using the word wretchedness in our liturgy than really being informative. They then spoke about someone who had schizophrenia and called the person schizoid in their devotion, right? Well, you could make comments to the person who wrote it, you know, online, how that stuff works. And someone wrote, I was highly offended by the fact that you use the term schizoid. I have a family member who has schizophrenia, and I find it offensive that you would say schizoid as a way to describe them. So being gentle and calm and quiet like I am, I commented, perhaps now the writer knows what it means to feel wretched. We steer away from these words, and I'd say maybe we could steer into them just a little. What if we are wretched? What if we have committed a sin following a societal norm and then discovered that it's against the Word of God? What if we just felt it for a minute in the light of God's Word and let it hurt for a minute? Feel it and know it's real. And then we look at these two passages together and recognize that what's happening is we're being taught today. We have a passage that is focused very much on sin, and then we have a passage focused on grace to those who are nothing. The kingdom of God belongs to them. What if we didn't make excuses and justify our sin? What if we just owned it and recognized that it was truly against God's will? What if we just stood in that and became nothing before him and then came before him? Maybe as a little child. Maybe then we could discover the depth of his grace when he picks us up and blesses us. You see, God blesses marriages. He forgives divorce. But to truly feel his grace, to truly discover what it means to be nothing and to be picked up in his arms and blessed, sometimes we have to feel the wretchedness of our sin to discover the grace that comes when you have a God that wants to scoop you up and will fight his own followers on your behalf to say, no, bring them to me. And hear him say, if you're a sinner like I've been a sinner, okay, I'm still a sinner, but if you're a sinner and you have known it, and you have felt it, and you've walked in it, and you've tried to justify it, and you've made every excuse in the world for it, all you've done, brothers and sisters, is separate yourself from God. And he's saying, come to me, you who are nothing and broken. So if you, like me, have been in that place, go there, own it, confess it, and turn to him, and hear these words. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, here, worthless, broken, useless, wretched. He who doesn't come like that will never enter. And then see how he will do what he says in 16. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Amen.